Hi, welcome to the second part of microservices interview questions. This podcast will enrich your knowledge around microservices and acquaint you with its frequently asked interview questions and answers. Question 21. Mention the main features of microservices. Answer: Following are the main features of microservices. A. Microservices have several individually deployable components. B. Service distribution in microservices is based on the business capabilities. C. It has decentralized data management. D. Microservices supports DevOps implementation. E. It has technical independence. F. Microservices have hidden component complexity to avoid unwanted microservices dependencies. Question 22. What are the key components of microservices? Answer. The key components of microservices are as follows. A. Clustering, containers, and orchestration. B. Infrastructure as code conception. C. Enterprise service bus. D. Service delivery. E. Cloud infrastructure. F. API gateway. Question 23. List the advantages and the disadvantages of microservices? Answer. Here are the advantages of microservices. A. Improves scalability. B. Fault isolation. C. Localized complexity. D. Boost agility. E. Simplifies debugging and maintenance. F. Smaller development teams. G. Better scope for tech upgradation. Now let's understand the disadvantages of microservices, which are as follows. A. It is much complicated. B. It needs precise pre-planning. C. Modular dependencies are difficult to calculate in microservices. D. It has less control over the third-party applications. E. Modular interdependencies are hard to track. F. More chances for malicious intrusions. G. Complete end-to-end testing is tough. H. Deployment challenges exist. Question 24. Highlight the differences between service-oriented architecture, monolithic architecture, and microservices architecture. Answer. A. Monolithic architecture is like a big container wherein all application software components are tightly packaged and assembled together. B. Service-oriented architecture is a collection of services that communicates with each other. The communication can involve simple data passing or could involve two or more services coordinating some activity. C. Microservice is the architectural style that structures an application as a collection of small autonomous services modeled across a business domain. Question 25. What is a domain-driven design? Answer. Domain-driven design means an architectural style based on the object-oriented analysis, design concepts, and principles. It helps in building a complex system by connecting related components of a software system into a continuously evolving system. Domain-driven design is based on three core principles. A. It focuses on the core domain and domain logic. B. Base complex designs on the domain models. C. It collaborates with the domain experts on a regular basis to improve an application's model and resolves any emerging domain-related problems. Question 26. Differentiate between coupling and cohesion? Answer. Coupling denotes a relationship between module A and module B. Any module can be highly coupled or dependent, uncoupled and loosely coupled with other modules. The best coupling is the loose coupling achieved through the interfaces. Whereas, cohesion denotes a relationship between multiple parts within a module. A module with high cohesion means it can perform a particular task with high efficiency, without communication with other modules. High cohesion improves the functional strength of a module. Question 27. What is the meaning of distributed transaction? Answer. Distribution transaction has multiple network hosts. These transactions are handled by a manager that keeps a check on handling and developing transactions. If a transaction involves more than one peer, the transaction manager of each peer communicates with each other through a superior or subordinate relationship. Likewise, the resource manager handles resources that also coordinate with the distributed transaction coordinator for transaction isolation and atomicity. Question 28. What is a contract testing? Answer. Contract testing refers to a test at an external services boundary that verifies if it meets the contract expected by the consuming service or not. It does not test a service's in-depth behavior. Instead, it tests service call inputs and outputs containing the required attributes and response latency, throughput within the allowed limits. Question 29. What can you understand by Conway's Law? Answer. Melvin Conway introduced Conway's Law in the late 1960s. It states that any organization that designs a system will inevitably have to produce a design whose structure is an exact copy of the organization's communication structure. The law mainly applies to modular software systems. Question 30. What is the key difference between stub and mock? Answer. Mock generally refers to a dummy object in which some features are set initially. Its behavior depends on those features, which are then tested. On the other hand, stub is an object that helps in running a test. It functions in a fixed way under certain conditions. The hard-coded behavior of stub allows it to run the test. Question 31. What do you mean by Mike Cohn's test pyramid? Answer. Mike Cohn's test pyramid is a type of automated test needed for software development. The test pyramid is a metaphor that represents the grouping of tests on the basis of their granularity. The pyramid indicates what type of tests should be applied to the different levels. Mike Cohn's test pyramid has three layers, which are as follows. A. Unit testing. B. Service testing. C. End user interface testing. Question 32. Explain what canary releasing is. Answer. Canary releasing refers to a technique to introduce new software versions by rolling out an updated version to a small set of users before rolling it out to the entire infrastructure and making it available to all. It is named after the canary releases that alert miners in the coal mines when the toxic gases reach dangerous levels. Question 33. Specify different types of credentials of the two-factor authentication? Answer. Below are the different types of credentials you can use for two-factor authentication. A. Something you may know like a PIN, pattern, or a password. B. Something you have like your phone number, OTP, IDs, or ATM number. C. Something you're like biometrics or voice authentication. D. There are three types of credentials required to perform two-factor authentication. E. The things you know, such as a password, PIN, or screen lock pattern. F. A physical credential you have in a third-party device like ATM number, OTP, or phone number, or an ATM card. G. Your physical identity like voice authentication or biometric security, eye scanner, or fingerprint. Question 34. Define non-deterministic tests? How to eliminate them? Answer. Non-deterministic tests, or NDT, are unreliable tests that sometimes pass and sometimes fail. When the tests fail, they are rerun to pass. One can eliminate non-determinism from tests in the following ways. A. Asynchronous. B. Quarantine. C. Resource leaks. D. Remote services. E. Isolation. F. Time. Question 35. What is the fundamental role of RESTful APIs in microservices? Answer. Microservices are based on a concept where all component services interact with one another to complete the business functionality. It requires each microservice to have an interface. RESTful APIs provide a logical model for building interfaces. It is based on the open networking web principles. Thus, it makes RESTful APIs a crucial enabler of microservices. Question 36. Define Eureka in microservices? Answer. Eureka is also called the Netflix Service Discovery Server. It uses Spring Cloud and is often considered the most used setup for starting a service discovery. It isn't much heavy on the app development process, which is why developers prefer to use it. Question 37. What is task let and chunk? Answer: Task let denotes a simple interface with one method to execute. A task let can be used to perform single tasks such as deleting files, running queries, etc. In Spring Batch, the task let is an interface used to perform unique tasks like cleaning or setting up resources before or after a step execution. Question 38. How to deploy exception handling in the microservices architecture? Answer: When an exception occurs while processing the HTTP request, you need to catch the exception in your controller or service and manually return an appropriate response entity. Following are some thumb rules for exception handling. A. For the exceptions, you write add at the rate response status. B. For all other exceptions, utilize the simple mapping exception resolver instance or implement an at the rate exception handler method on the at the rate controller advice class. C. For the controller specific exceptions, add at the rate exception handler methods to the controller. Note that at the rate exception handler methods on a controller are always selected before at the rate controller advice instance. It is undefined in what order controller advices are processed. Question 39. How to access RESTful microservices? Answer: As RESTful APIs is based on the concept of open web networking, it provides the most logical model for building interfaces between the several components of a microservices architecture. RESTful APIs can be accessed in the following two ways. A. By using a load-balanced REST template, B. Or by using multiple microservices. Question 40. What is the procedure to perform security testing of microservices? Answer: Microservices apps collect independent, smaller, and functional modules with different data resources, developed in different programming languages, and running on different operating systems. It makes testing of microservices a very difficult task as different modules need to be tested individually. There are three common procedures to test microservices, which are as follows: A. Code scanning, to ensure each line of code can be replicated and is bug-free. B. Flexibility. The security protocols need to be flexible as per the system's requirements. C. Adaptability. The security protocols also need to be adaptable to malicious intrusions. Thank you for listening to our podcast.